Well, it's election day in the US, and right around the country, Americans are lining up at voting booths to decide who will be their president for the next 4 years. On the East Coast, which is still recovering from Superstorm Sandy, there are long queues to vote in makeshift centres. And while the big cleanup continues, Americans are now breaking down Sandy's $44 billion US dollar damage bill. In New York City, the entertainment and art community is assessing the impact. Broadway lost about $8 million in just 1 week, with many shows shutting down. And in downtown Manhattan, artists and gallery owners are left with millions of dollars worth of ruined art. As Mike Williams reports from New York City, some say the damage will have a worldwide effect on the art market for years to come.
Here comes the party.
When Superstorm Sandy struck last week, artists all over New York were affected. But it was the water surge in southwest Manhattan that's hit New York's art world hardest.
I'm walking down 21st Street, West 21st Street. This is Chelsea, the art precinct. And that sound you can hear next to me now, that's a generator. And generators are lined up and down these streets. You can hear them everywhere. Walking past another one now. There's a man next to me with a trolley carrying some rubbish to a dumpster, which these dumpsters are also lined these streets. It's like a big construction zone here. There's tradesmen everywhere, removalist trucks to try and get rid of this rubbish. And by rubbish, I mean part of that is art.
It's the Monday after Sandy, and as I wander around Chelsea, not many artists want to speak to me. It feels like everyone's starting to get over the shock and they just want to get stuck into cleaning up this mess.
Yeah, we're just walking into your gallery now. You can hear vacuum cleaners, tradesmen. I can see, is that where the water line was?
About 6 inches above the water line. But as you can see, the ramp goes down.
Arcee is taking a break from the cleanup, though, and she's nice enough to show me around her small gallery.
A-S-Y-A-G-I-S-B-E-R-G.
Arcee Geisberg Gallery.
Where we're standing here, there's... What is this, some
concrete.
Sort of concrete, but you've got paper over it,
yeah.
You've got plastic sheets up. You can see where the wall's been cut. You've just ripped that out. What used to be here?
I had art, yeah. I had a full height portfolio of huge pencil drawings. The paper absorbs the water, so even though maybe there was just a little bit of exposure, it ruined it, basically. I have a feeling I won't be able to revive that, and so certain things, like a photograph, that's it, you know.
While I've been walking around, I've met some lucky people who had a second floor they were able to move things up onto. Others in basements weren't so lucky.
I was maybe expecting a couple of inches, maybe. I had taken a lot of precautions. I had moved art up. I had used spray foam on the cracks up like a foot above where any reasonable person would have thought any water would come. I had duct taped the rest of the gallery. And instead, I came to just...
shock. No one in the area predicted Sandy could have caused this much damage. Arcee says despite the notice, this neighbourhood thought Chelsea just would have been safe.
Once you got the art out, what did you do with it then? Where did you take it?
I walked up six very high flights in the dark, continually, to try to find room for it in my apartment.
Did you know what to do? Like, I know there's certain...
no.
Things that conservators do.
But I just went to a conservation panel yesterday, and I think I had confirmation that we did all the right things.
The panel discussion Arcee is talking about was something put on by a group of art conservators and organizations. They've teamed up with MoMA to host a talk and help offer their skills.
My name is Beth Noonan. I'm Associate Conservator at the American Museum of Natural History. I'm also on the Emergency Committee of AIC, that's the American Institute for Conservation. I'm also a member of Alliance for Response New York City, which is a group that connects institutions together to respond to disasters such as this.
At the event, it seems like there's just as many conservators as there are artists. And for each discipline, there's a conservator who specializes. Wood, metal, oils, electronics... this is the time for New York art conservators to shine.
There are tons of conservators in New York City because there's tons of art in New York City. Conservators are particularly well-suited to responding to artwork that's affected by disasters because we understand materials, we understand the risks involved, and we understand the steps that are necessary to salvage materials.
What are the most common mistakes that artists make when they come back into trying to sort out this mess?
I would say rushing the process and not having a plan are really kind of the things that kind of set you up for less successful recovery. Take the time to decide what is most valuable, prioritize things, break it down into smaller manageable pieces, and then figure out exactly who's going to go in and do the moving. Where are you going to put it? Like, plan all of this out before you even step in the door. The damage has already been done. The artwork has already been soaked. It's already been contaminated. Another hour really isn't going to make that much of a difference. If you can take that hour to plan and organize your time and your resources, then your recovery will be much more successful. There's kind of two problems here. Artwork was directly affected by the floodwaters, by the surge waters. It may be contaminated by materials that were in the floodwater. The second part of the problem is that to dry the materials safely, to do it in an environment that is stable, that where you can keep the humidity down, because the higher the humidity for a prolonged period of time, the more the risk of mold. So finding a space in New York City is really hard. Finding a space where you can control the environment is even harder.
The surge was brackish water from the Hudson, fresh and salt. And you mix that with sewage and then oils from the paint, soaking for days in a dark basement, and you have a perfect cocktail for mold. But more on mold soon. The water itself was bad enough.
It weakens artwork. It can soften adhesives. Things come apart. It can cause paints to dissolve. It can weaken structural fibers of organic materials, textiles, animal hides, skins, leathers. It can cause rusting on metals. It can cause saturation of low-fired ceramics, so it kind of turns back into the original clay material. So soaking with water is never good. In addition to the contaminants and anything that was porous, those contaminants are going into the body of the materials, and that's particularly hard to get out.
Did you say that mold, once there are mold spores on something, they can never be...
Mold spores are everywhere. We have mold spores on us right now. It exists in the environment. And once you see mold, it's like a mouse in a farmhouse. Like, if you see one, you know there's 10. If you see mold, then there is a lot of mold material, mold spores that are not visible to the eye all over that artwork.
So something I thought of when you said that was like tinea, how basically people who have tinea, you can never get rid of tinea.
Mm. It's the same thing. Like, once mold has kind of taken place, that material is always particularly susceptible to mold outbreaks. So putting it in an environment where you can control the humidity, because mold likes high humidity, if you can keep it in a low humidity environment, you can help control the mold, you'll never fully get rid of it.
Right, of course. So that's why, coming back to the tinea thing, the showers
mm-hmm.
are popular
high
places
humidity.
For...
Exactly, high humidity environments.
Back in Chelsea, representatives from an art insurance agency are walking around handing out free lunches to those working in the galleries.
How does Sandy compare with anything else that's ever happened in New York? I mean, you're in the New York art insurance business.
Right, right,
what,
right.
Has anything ever come close to this?
Well, obviously, Sandy is the worst storm that this area has ever faced, so the impact is enormous. That's the most that I can say for that right now. But, you know, people are suffering. There's been a lot of damage, and we're here to help. We're here to assist.
Asi is realistic about what's going to have to happen before things are back to normal.
I think we're all going to have a period of, I don't want to say dormancy, but we're all going to have a period of really just working hard to reopen, and at the same time having absorbed the massive cost of everybody's renovation, everybody's art restoration, loss of income while we're closed. There's waves of consequences, I think, for galleries, large and small, but I think especially for younger or smaller galleries, it's a heightened burden.
This is a really traumatic thing. How are you feeling at this point?
Right now I feel, in a qualified way, I feel very hopeful and committed, and I feel like the worst part is over. Finding anything like even a mop was impossible. I couldn't even run out and find time to look for a mop. I mean, it was that kind of... That's now done. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. The gallery, I know, will be revived physically. But I just opened 2 years ago, and I'm not giving up, and I'm going to keep plugging away. And hopefully we can all stay in Chelsea, and we all are pulling for each other. We're all working together. We're sharing information. That's a nice feeling.
New York gallery owner Asia Geisberg speaking with Mike Williams at her gallery in Chelsea, which is in downtown Manhattan. She's got a big job ahead of her, hasn't she?